And so we're talking about the spirit of faith. We discover that faith should be taught and must be taught, but the spirit of faith is something that can be caught. We said last week, it's like a fire that burns in your heart. David said, "For the Lord will light my candle, and he will enlighten my darkness. And for by him I will run through a troop, and by my God I leaped over a wall." And I got to repeat what I said last week. Once your candle is lit, once your candle is lit with revelation knowledge and the fire of God's word, you can run through any troop and you can leap over any wall. Thank God. The spirit of faith is not fragile. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, "But we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe." Amen. Say it with me. We also believe. And therefore we speak. A few characteristics I want to talk to you about this morning before we have communion today about the spirit of faith. Well, number one, the spirit of faith will announce the outcome in the middle of adversity. The spirit of faith will announce, will declare, will prophesy the outcome, amen, in the midst of adversity. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He was on his way to Rome, and a great nor'easter came and just literally scared everyone on board except for the Apostle Paul. They didn't think they were going to make it. It was 14 days before they could see the sun or the moon or the stars. They hadn't eaten for 14 days. Literally, there were prisoners on board with the Apostle Paul. Paul was a prisoner on his way to Rome. They were literally shaking in their boots. And Paul warned them, "Don't do this, don't do this. I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and damage of the ship." But I want you to pick it up now, notice, with me in Acts 27, verse 21. "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer." They probably thought he was nuts. "Be of good cheer? Paul, have you lost your mind?" Paul said, "Be of good cheer." And then he spoke the word of God. "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God with a message from God, with a word from God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, don't you be afraid. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God's given you all them that sail with you." Is that a good word? Amen. But notice with me in verse 25, Paul stood up and says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And to make a long story short, yeah, they lost the ship. There was much damage to the ship and of all of the tackling and everything like that. But every person on board made it alive to shore. Now notice this. It shall be. It shall be. It shall be. Even as it was told me. Has not God told us? Whew, glory to God. Has he not told us some great things out of these exceeding great and precious promises of God? Amen. And those with the spirit of faith will say, "It shall be even as it was told me." Oh, come on, say it with me. It shall be even as it was told me. My household shall be saved. I will make it to my finish line. He will give me long life. And I shall be strong every day of my life. It shall be even as it has been told me. But listen to this very carefully. It may not be yet, but it shall be. Come on now. It may not be yet, but it shall be. Why is that? Because faith calls those things which be not as though they were. Faith calls oneself healed while there's pain in the body. Faith calls oneself abundantly provided for where there's still debt on the ledger. Amen. Somebody says, I don't get it. Faith calls those things as be not as though they were. How long do I need to do that? Until they are. Amen. Until they are. Glory to God. Somebody say, it shall come to pass. It shall all come to pass. I remember Brother Hagin walking through the audience and walking through all these wonderful meetings. And he would say that over and over again. It's a good thing for you to say at home. It'll come to pass. It's coming to pass. It shall all come to pass. It shall all come to pass at last. Glory to God. Is anybody in the house today believing God for it to come to pass? So make sure you lift up your voice and give God praise before it comes to pass. That gives God something to work with. Make sure you align your speaker, hallelujah, with your believer. And as you hook your speaker with your believer and declare what God has said, it gives him something to work with because he is the high priest of your confession. Amen. One of the other main characteristics that I've discovered for those that have the spirit of faith, without a doubt, they are fighters. They're fighters. They are fighters. In 1 Timothy 6:12, notice with me, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you have been called, or whereunto you have been summoned. Amen? God is calling his people to lay hold on eternal life. And if you will lay hold on eternal life, life in abundance, to the full, until it overflows, you will be well positioned to fight your good fight of faith. So those with the spirit of faith, they're fighters. They're not quitters. I said last week, faith is not fragile. It is tough. Amen? Now, the fight of faith is the only fight believers are called to fight. How many of you know we're not to fight one another? That doesn't do any good. When we fight one another, we get in strife. And when we get in strife, what does that do? It opens up the door to the devil. Keith Moore said this and gave a good definition. I've never heard like this one before. He said, strife opens up the door to the devil. It is the manifest presence of the devil. So we don't want him manifesting in our lives. We don't want to give him that open door by getting out of sorts with one another. Amen? How many of you know we're to love one another? And even when we're out there in the world, we see a lot of things that, man, just cause your head to shake. But it will not do you any good to get in strife with them over their current situation. What will do you good is to pray for them and to lift them up so that God can change them. Everyone say, fight the good fight of faith. So I said this, we don't fight one another. And here's another thing that we need to understand. We do not necessarily fight the devil. Why is that? Because he is a defeated foe. Jesus whipped him for us. In Colossians 2:15 it says, he spoiled principalities and powers. And he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Woo, glory to God. One translation says, he exposed them. He shattered them. He emptied them. He defeated them. He put them to naught. Glory to God. He is a defeated foe who is under your feet. You see, when a king would fight against another king in those days and defeated him in battle, it was said that he had spoiled him. And what would happen is the victor would parade the captured king and other important prisoners through the town as a trophy of triumph. The victors would make a show of them openly, displaying their complete downfall before everyone. Well, here's the good news. The Bible says that Jesus did that to Satan. He spoiled Satan. He displayed and triumphed over Satan's defeat before three worlds, heaven, earth, and hell. Revelation says he disarmed him and he stripped him of his authority of power and authority, and he took the keys of hell and death. Woo, glory to God. He took those keys of hell and death, Jimmy, and he gave them to us. He gave them to us. You've got the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom are keys of authority. The keys of the kingdom are keys of dominion. One of your keys is the Word of God. Another one of your keys is the name that is above every name. Another one of your keys is the blood of the Lamb. Woo, glory to God. And that's how we overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Amen. So you want to make sure that you are familiar with your keys and that you use your keys. If you don't utilize your keys, basically they will just lie dormant. Don't allow what Jesus did for you to be of none effect in your life. See, your faith is important to take up his victory and enforce it with the word of God, with the blood of the Lamb, and with the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I like that word, he put them to naught, don't you? He put them to naught. You see, when Jesus defeated the principalities and powers, he gained for you and I an eternal redemption. You have been eternally redeemed. We are not about to be redeemed. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Hebrews says it like this. I love this. It says here, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. One translation says, he obtained an eternal release for us. So again, the fight of faith is the only fight that you are called to fight. We don't fight one another. We don't fight the devil. We just enforce his defeat. So what is the fight of faith? Well, let me tell you something about what the fight of faith is. The fight of faith for all of us is to stay in faith. Right? Because there's a lot of things that try to pull us out of faith. And into fear, and looking on all this, and looking on that. But how many of you know 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this? For we walk by faith. What do we walk by? Faith. We walk by faith, and not by sight. And not by sight. When you walk by faith, you are not moved by what you see. Amen. You are not moved by what you feel. Amen. You are not moved by your five physical senses. But you're living and walking by the faith in God's word. What does it mean to walk by faith? It means to continue to walk in, live by, talk by, and think by faith. And I've discovered this, and I'm sure you have as well. The main battle is between your ears. The main battle is in our thought life. Frederick Casey Price said many years ago, he said, the mind is the arena of faith. The mind is the arena of faith. Amen. So I want to exhort you to stay in faith. And as you stay in faith, it'll keep that rat right under your feet. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Cast down those images. Cast down those thoughts that are contrary to the word of God. Cast them down and bring every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus in the wilderness won that battle and won that war with words. He was tested, was he not? He was surely tested. And you and I will be tested. You know, if Jesus was tested, we're going to be tested. So we don't get bummed out because the test comes. No, we can rest in the middle of the test because Jesus has already gone before us and showed us how to do and how to act in the middle of our test. Amen? Now, you wouldn't be opposed to following Jesus' example, would you? Look at Matthew chapter 4, if you would, real quickly. Matthew, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to read it very quickly. And I think it begins in verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I mean, I get hungry after fasting maybe 5 hours. Just ask Brenda about that. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered. How many of you know you got to answer the enemy when he comes with lies? And in order to answer the enemy when he comes with lies, you need to know the truth. Because the truth will set you free. And the truth will keep you free. Amen. But he answered and said, "It is written, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into a holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." See, the enemy's trying to get tricky. "He shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written," again. How many of you know sometimes you got to say it again? You got to take that sword of the Spirit out and say it again and again. Amen. So Jesus said again, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God." And again, persistent cuss. He took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these things I'm going to give you if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God," like that, "and him only shall you serve." Notice the next verse. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to the master. Amen. So you and I then, we can put the enemy on the run the same way. It's important for us to know what is written. Now remember this, that Paul gave us two main ingredients of the spirit of faith. That is, believing and speaking. One person wrote this, and I like the way he said that, "Believing is the attitude of faith." That's the spirit of faith. And speaking is the initial act of faith. So we understand it's not enough just to have faith in our heart. We must open our mouth. Because here's a third characteristic we're talking about today. Those with the spirit of faith. Say, "That's me."
That's me.
Look at your neighbor and say, "That's you."
That's you.
Raise a hand toward in heaven and say, "That's all of us."
That's all of us.
While we're at it, let's just say it together. We have, here at Heart of the Bay, in this congregation, we have the spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith is the spirit of victory. Ooh, glory to God. It's the spirit of victory. And victory has a wonderful smell to it. Did you know that? Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said this, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph and manifest through our life the fragrance of victory to the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. You see, there's something about a man or woman of God that loves the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, and with all their soul, and with all their might. And who just take him at his word. And even though may not completely understand the completeness of what God is saying to us, it pleases God when we simply trust him. Amen. Somebody says, "Man, I wish I could trust him." You can trust him. You can trust him. It's easy. How many of you, when you came in the auditorium today to sit down, you trusted the chair? right? You trusted the chair. Well, I got news for you. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which appear were not made of things which do appear. See, God made this chair.
Right.
Amen. So if you can trust this chair to sit in, you can trust the God who made the chair for you.
Yeah.
Amen. Trust is easy. It's not difficult.
Right.
Now say it with me. I trust God.
I believe God.
That it shall be. Even as it was told me. You see, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But who are we going to remember? Come on. We're going to remember the name of the Lord our God. Woo, glory to God. So you can trust Him if you will trust Him. Amen? Don't trust your senses. Don't trust your feelings. Because your senses and your feelings are fickle. But God's Word is not fickle. God's Word never changes. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Woo, glory to God. The Word of God is our strong and it is our solid foundation. When you're standing on the Word of God, you're not standing on something that will reel back and forth. No, it's a solid foundation and it will hold you steady in the storms of life. When the winds come and the floods arise, you will stand immovable and unshakable because you are a child of the King and the King has your number. He has your back and He knows those who trust Him. Woo, glory to God. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God. He will never fail. I trust in God. Woo. Woo. I like to shout in this house. Glory to God. Are there any trusters at Heart of the Bay today? Are there any men or women that will stand on their covenant with a covenant-keeping God? I trust in God, my Savior. He will never fail. He will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. And there is never anyone that has trusted Him that will be disappointed. He will not disappoint the trusters. Amen. You will not go under. You will go over because your trust is in God. Your trust is in God. Your faith is in the faithful one. Come on, let's sing it again. I trust in God, my Savior, the one. Give it some volume. He will never fail. I trust in God.
My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
I trust in God. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There is no one that has ever trusted Him that shall be disappointed. Glory to God. Amen. Somebody says, well, I haven't been trusting Him lately, Pastor Mark. Well, you know what? That's okay. Let's get on with it.
Yes.
Come on, let's get back to the Word. Let's get on with believing and speaking. Let's get back.
Hallelujah.
Let's get back. And let's take it back. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. Let us get back. And let us take it back. Take back everything that the enemy has stolen from you. Take back every sleepless night. Take back every worried thought. Take it back. Take it back. Somebody said, well, how do I take it back? You've got faith. I said, you've got the ability to trust Him. And with your faith, you can reach out and you can take what God has given you. Let's just do that as an exercise of our faith. Come on. I'm going to take it back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get back, 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 come back, come back, come back, come back, come back, and take it back. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Just go back to the elementary principles of faith.
Amen.
Amen. Say with me, the spirit of faith, it is mine. Now here's another characteristic. Those with the spirit of faith find the word, believe the word, speak the word, and hold fast to the word. Mark Hankin said in his book, The Spirit of Faith, one of the best books I've ever read on faith. He said this, God's word didn't come out of his pen. It came out of his mouth. It was spoken before it was written. And it was written so it could be spoken. God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, and God saw, and God saw, and God saw, and God saw, and God saw. If you want to see, you need to start saying. Woo, glory to God. Amen. I said amen. So those with the spirit of faith say the same thing about themselves that God has said about it. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it's up on the screen. Read it with me. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Literally, let us hold fast our confession. Amen. Looking up the Greek word translated profession, it simply says this, let us hold fast to saying the same things. Amen. Say the same things about yourself that God said about you.
Right.
Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman said it this way, God has tied himself irrevocably to human cooperation in the execution of divine purposes. He has made man's faith a determining factor in the work of redemption. God is looking for someone to believe Him and say the same thing. It is called confession.
Yes.
Now here's a truth we all know. Many times in the body of Christ, the only thing that people hear about the word confession is confessing your sins.
Yeah.
Anybody familiar with that?
Yeah.
Says, oh, not me, I never sin. You need to confess your sin right now. No, it's a vital truth. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. We don't throw that away. Thank God we hold fast to that. But the Word of God also talks about of your confession of faith in Christ Jesus. F.F. Bosworth said this, a spiritual law few recognize is that our confessions rule us and that faith will never rise above our confession. So confession does three things. Number one, it is stating something that we believe. Number two, it is declaring something that we know to be true. And number three, confession is proclaiming a truth that we have accepted wholeheartedly. And so when we're talking about confession, we're talking about confession in three areas. Number one, who we are in Christ. Number two, what we have in Christ. And number three, what we can do in Christ. Amen. Hebrews 10:23. Look at this verse. It's a very good verse that goes along with Hebrews 4:14. Read it with me, please. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Now notice this phrase, hold fast. Why is that?
Amen.
Because the enemy will do everything he can to get you to let loose. And one of the ways that we let loose and let go is we close our mouth.
Yes.
But let the redeemed of the Lord think so. No, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So what I'm encouraging you in this morning is open your mouth and declare your redemption.
Amen.
Open your mouth and declare your righteousness.
Yes.
Say with me, I'm the righteousness of God.
In Christ.
Open your mouth and declare, I have a sound mind.
Yes.
Say with me, my mind is sound. I have a sound mind. Open your mouth and declare you're redeemed from poverty. Come on, raise a hand and say, I'm redeemed from poverty, from sickness, and from death. For poverty, I have wealth. For sickness, I have health. And for death, I have eternal life. Beth Moore said this in one of her books. She says, get a grip on your lip and don't let it slip. That's good, isn't it? Get a grip on your lip and don't let it slip. So if the spirit of faith says it's so, it is so. If God says it's so, it's so. If he says you're healed, you're healed. If he says he supplies your need, he supplies your need. If he says he's the strength of your life, he is the strength of your life. Amen? So basically what we're saying is real faith in God simply says about oneself what God's word says.
Amen.
I want to lead you in this confession. Say it with me, I have what the word of God says I have.
I am
what the word of God says I am. I can do what the word of God says
I can do.
There's nothing you can't do with the Holy Spirit's direction and purpose for your life. What he places in your heart to do authentically, and you know it to be true, you can confess, I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do it. Not only can I do it, but I will do it. And how will you do it? You'll do it for the glory of God. Because when he places purpose in your heart, he gives you the divine enablement for you to do everything that's on the inside of you that he's placed there. Isn't that good news? Woo, glory to God. So when there's times where you think you can't do it, no, reverse. Flip the script. I can do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In Hebrews chapter 13, the end of that verse says, in verse 5, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that good news? Now I want you to pull up Hebrews 13, 6. It says this, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You see, verse 5 says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6 says, now let's boldly say what he said. The Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what can man do unto me. Are you boldly saying what he has said? Too many people are boldly saying, I'm whipped, I'm defeated, the devil's got me bound. But nowhere in the word of God do we find where God says to boldly say that. In other words, boldly declare and boldly say what he said. Now this morning, in just a few moments, we're going to have communion. So I'm going to ask Pastor Tom and the gang to go back to the whatever that is, the platform.
Yeah.
Are you getting anything today?
Oh, yes.
That's what's important.
Yes, amen.
If you get something, I want you to get something, especially now during communion. The Lord reminded me of some things that are so important in receiving communion. I saw this many years ago, but it's something I want to bring to your remembrance today. Amen?
Amen?
Now understand this. In this time of communion, this is not a ritual. This is not a ritual. Communion is done out of relationship.
Amen.
And communion springs forth from your communion with Him and the Holy Spirit.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
He wants to commune with you.
Yes.
He wants to talk with you.
Yes.
He wants to instruct you.
Yes.
Amen? Now notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're getting ready to receive communion right now. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And this ties in beautifully with the message on faith's confession. In verse 23, he says, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus," everyone say the Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
So the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And we're going to break bread in a moment. And when he had given thanks, I think it's appropriate that we give thanks that his body was broken for us. Amen? And when he took bread, he gave thanks and broke it and said, "Take it, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." I'm glad it was. Whew, if his body wasn't broken for you and for me, we'd be a big mess. But oh, thank God, now we've got hold of us.
Yes, we do.
It's broken for you. And now here's the phrase I want to center in on just for a couple moments. This do in what? Everyone say, in remembrance of me. And then he proceeded after the same manner. He also took the cup, which we'll do in a moment. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." In other words, you got a blood covenant with me. "This do you as oft as you drink it," there again, in what? Do this, eat the bread, drink the cup, in what? In remembrance of me. Oh, wow. Now notice the next verse. "For as often as you eat this bread," and I'm looking at Richard and Lyle over there, they receive communion every day. I know that Keith Hershey receives communion sometimes a couple times a day. See, communion is not something that you have to wait to come to church to receive. You can receive communion at home. I use it as a setting point for me. Amen. All you got to do is get a little grape juice and a little cracker and a little book by Kenneth Copeland, How to Receive Communion, and follow his instructions. Wow, it'll change your life. But here's what I want you to see. "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show." The word "show" there means proclaim. You do proclaim the Lord's death until what? Until he comes. Did you know that during communion, we're to proclaim that he's coming soon? Whew, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? We're not going to be in this world forever, but we're going to be with the Lord forever. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. So as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, let's proclaim Jesus is coming soon. Come on, morning, night, or noon, Jesus is coming soon. He's going to split the eastern sky, and he's going to descend with a shout, and the trump of God is going to sound. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. And those that have gone on before us will be caught up as well. Woo, glory to God. Oh, what a day it shall be when our Jesus we shall see. Say with me, he's coming soon. Soon and very soon, we will see the King. Now back to this thought. Do this in what? Now look up that word remembering, and it means recollection. It means to recall. It means to remind ourselves. And it means to forget not. So when we receive communion, this is speaking to us of actively reminding ourselves, actively recalling by reciting, by declaring, by confessing all that the Lord has done.
Amen.
Ooh, glory to God. What this is saying is give voice to it. It means to recount. Count your blessings one by one.
Amen.
It means to express or to enumerate. Yes. And when I saw that definition of to enumerate, I immediately thought of Psalms 103. So right before we receive communion, let's make some remembrance recitations, yes, and some declarations.
Thank you, Lord.
At what the Lord has done.
Amen.
We sing a song, Look What the Lord Has Done. Well, let's look at Psalms 103. And let's look what he has done before we receive. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, let's read it together. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Forget not. The best way to forget not is to recount. To give voice to express, to enumerate. Woo-hoo! Verse 3. Are you happy today?
Yes.
Verse 3 says, Who forgiveth? How many of your iniquities does he forgive?
All.
Half of them?
All.
A third of them? No, thank God. He's forgiven you of all your iniquities.
Amen.
The second part of that verse says, Who healeth? Oh, glory to God. Verse 4, let's read it together. Who redeemeth our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5, who satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth. This we call to remembrance. That your body was broken, that your blood was shed. We enumerate, we recite, we recall all that the Lord has done. Woo-hoo-hoo, glory to God. The victory has been won. Forget not what I have done. Keep it before your eyes day and night. Keep it in the midst of your heart, and you will see. The eyes of your heart will become flooded with light. For the entrance of my word giveth light. And I would remind you that light dispels darkness. Light dispels condemnation. Light dispels sickness and disease. Light dispels, glory to God, any destruction that will come your way. So live in my word. And let my word live in you. Declare it. Say it. And you will see your life change before your very eyes. For I love you and my hand is upon you. And I'm watching over each and every one of you as you declare my word to perform it on your behalf.